Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Nathan Hirsch. He is an expert in e-commerce and remote hiring. What's up, Nathan?
Not much, man. Excited to be here. How are you?
Doing well. You know, we just spoke before because I was confused by your brand's name. It's free with an extra E up. So freeing up your time and e-commerce is the extra E.
Yeah, I mean, I was a longtime e-commerce seller, and when I started the free up marketplace, it was very focused on Amazon sellers and e-commerce. And since then, we've really branched out, and we work with marketing agencies and real estate agents and software companies. But our core has always been e-commerce.
2015 was a good age for Amazon sellers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I started selling on Amazon back in 2008.
That's super early. But I think around 2014 to 16 was still a very good time. You know, people getting rich almost overnight. I don't think that's the case anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just harder. I mean, when I started selling on Amazon, it was me and a few other people on every listing. And every product that I put up, it seemed like I could sell 50 to 100 of them before someone else would catch on. And now there's just a lot more competition. There's a lot more rules. Amazon has cracked down on a lot of things. Things like reviews, which were a great way to launch new products, you can't do it the same way anymore. So product launches take longer. It takes more time, more money, and greater risk. So I think the opportunity is still there. I work with thousands of sellers that make a killing on Amazon in e-commerce, but get rich quick isn't there, and there's a lot more risk than there was before.
It's interesting because everyone I know in Amazon wants to sell their business or get out of it.
And I have clients like that too. I mean, everyone's at a different stage in their business. I think if you're a real entrepreneur, you see the risks. You see that putting all your eggs in one basket on Amazon has its downfalls. So I think a lot of people that have had success are looking for, hey, how do I get out? How do I reduce my risk? How do I get a lump sum? But I have plenty of clients who are committed to growing not just their Amazon business, but also their brand. And I think that's where we're kind of pivoting to, where you're no longer an Amazon seller. If you want to grow, if you want to sustain yourself for the next 5 to 10 years, you have to build a brand not just on Amazon, but off as well.
Cool. Let's go into your product a little bit. To start off, how much did you invest in this business starting out?
Both companies, I invested less than $5,000. With my Amazon business, I started it with a few hundred bucks. Right. With FreeUp, I actually put $10,000 in a bank account, and I only spent like $3,000 or $4,000 of it before we became profitable, and I took the rest out.
Nice. What was your main marketing channel for the FreeUp business when you were first coming on the market?
So we spent no money on marketing for the first year and a half. And what I mean by that is we didn't run Facebook ads or Google, or we didn't sponsor anything. It was all cold emailing, cold outreach, partnering, networking, referrals. So that was really how we grew. I was in the e-commerce industry, so I had connections there, and talking to them, they had the same hiring issues that I had, where it just took forever to post a job and have a lot of applicants and interview them. And even if you find someone you like, that they could quit on you and you'd be stuck. So I created FreeUp as a solution to that. And when I showed them, they were very open to giving it a try. And I had built the Rolodex of freelancers in e-commerce that I could rely on from selling myself. So I kind of had the supply side built up a little bit. And then once I got out there and clients really liked the service, they like getting access to fast pre-vetted talent, I created the referral program where you get 50 cents for every hour that we bill to people forever. And all of a sudden people started talking about me everywhere in Japan at conferences. And that's really how we spread for the first year and a half before we started investing money in marketing.
That's a good story. What does that team look like now? Are these your employees that you sort of hire out when people need them? Is it like Upwork where people just sign up and then employees sign up? What's this work like?
Yeah, so they're not my employees. We're more similar to an Upwork. So we get thousands of applicants every week. These are our freelancers and virtual assistants and business owners, service providers, agencies from all over the world. We vet them not just for skill, attitude, communication, but we vet them for skill, attitude, communication, let the top 1% in, and then make them available to our clients quickly whenever they need them. So we essentially have a network of freelancers, and these freelancers, they have their own clients. They might offer their service on Upwork and other places, but we vetted them, and our clients get access to them. And then all the billing is through us. We have 24/7 support to make sure people have a good experience. And we also have a no turnover guarantee. If they quit for any reason, we cover replacement costs and get them a new person right away. So there's a difference between my internal team, which is all freelancers and virtual assistants that I use to do our marketing, to do our customer service, our blog and all that, and the actual freelancers in the network that don't work for me. They're just on my platform offering their service to the clients that sign up.
What's that vetting process like? Because you just mentioned you let the 1% through. How do you figure that out?
Yeah, so we let in 1 out of every 100 applicants, and we get about 3,000 applicants a week. And we're looking for not just skill, but attitude and communication as well. For skill, we don't need everyone to be a 10 out of 10. There's a time and a place for a 3 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 7, whatever it is. We have skill tests that we put people through. If they're an Amazon expert, we have Amazon questions. If they're a graphic designer, we look at their portfolio. And what we care about is, are they honest about what they can and cannot do? Because that's what we care about at the end of the day. There are different price points from $5 to $100 an hour. And if you're priced accordingly and you're honest about what you can and cannot do, you can have a lot of success as a freelancer. So that's the skill part. The attitude, we look for people who are passionate about what they do. They're not just in it for the paycheck. If I hate bookkeeping, which I do, and I hire a bookkeeper, I want them to love bookkeeping as much as I love being an entrepreneur. Those are the type of people that we look for. And we do one-on-one interviews with them. We look for people that don't get aggressive the second that something doesn't go their way, people who are positive. We've all worked with someone that is a cancer and is negative and brings down the whole team, and we want to avoid people like that. And then communication is so important when you're dealing with remote freelancers. We have 15 pages of communication best practices that they have to memorize and get tested on before they get on our platform. So that's really what we're looking for, a combination of skill, attitude, and communication. And we found that if you hire people that have 1 out of 3 or 2 out of 3, it can lead to a lot of bad hiring experiences.
You mentioned the billing goes through your company. What's that fee structure look like if someone tries to hire a freelancer?
Yeah, so it's free to sign up. There's no monthly fee, no minimums, no obligation. You can stop using us at any time. It's in our best interest to get you people you actually like. And the freelancers set their own rates. The default is hourly. You can agree to a fixed price if you want to. Our fee is already included. If we say Bob is $10 an hour, you pay $10 an hour, nothing else. Our fee is 15% with a $2 minimum on hourly and 15% on fixed prices.
And that's forever.
Correct. And you can buy them out. If we've had people that if they use a freelancer and they want to buy them out and do payments outside free up, it's $5,000 for a US and per a freelancer and $2,500 for a non-US.
Interesting. How do you compare to some of the competition that you have?
Yeah, it's really the four factors that I mentioned before, the pre-vetting, only letting 1 out of 100 people on, where if you go to Upwork or Fiverr, anyone can create an account and offer a service. I would put our speed against anyone else. I mean, there's no browsing. You put in a request, we fill it within a business day, usually faster. We have clients who get started with their freelancer within hours or minutes of putting in their request. We're pretty quick. And then on the back end, I would put our customer service against anyone. My calendar as the owner is right at the top of the website. I'm very easy to contact. I have a team of people that monitor my Skype, email, live chat 24/7. So you always get a fast response no matter how big or small your need or issue is. And then our no turnover guarantee. I've yet to see a marketplace that if someone quits on you mid-project, they cover replacement costs and get you a new person right away. So those are the four things that separate us.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the vetting one I've seen with other companies already. So that's getting more common, I think. But some of the other ones, I did not see the turnover one or the owner putting their phone number on top. So that's definitely a differentiator for you. You know, the one thing I always struggle with these type of marketplaces, and you did mention you can buy out the workers because, you know, otherwise creating a culture, you know, a company culture with workers who are on someone else's platform, who are, you know, getting billed from someone else. So, you know, I don't feel like they're actually working for me. There's sort of like a, you know, there's an intermediary. So they're not really my employees per se. I think that's difficult. You know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, we're a platform for freelancers and virtual assistants, not for employees. But we have clients who have worked with freelancers either consistently or on or off for years. And they're part of the culture. They treat them just like they were hiring them directly. And it's not like you're coming to me when you need a project and I talk to the freelancer and then I get back to you. You're working directly with the freelancer. And you're, yes, the payments are through us, but that almost makes it easier. We keep your bank account and credit card on file, and we chart it every week, so you don't have to worry about going into your PayPal account and sending money. And then on top of that, you also have that extra layer of protection where if someone does disappear for 2 days, you're not just stuck waiting. You can actually reach out to us. Or if someone does quit, you know that you're protected and you're not going to have to pay that onboarding more than once. So there's obviously pros and cons. There's pros and cons to everything in business. And I think what we've tried to do, we kind of look at the other platforms as a place that freelancers and clients go because they have to be there, right? That's where the freelancers are. That's where the clients are. So people are there. And the second that they have the opportunity to leave, they want to. Whereas we want to create a community where clients want to be there because they feel like it's easier. They're more protected. They have a great relationship with me and my team. And freelancers want to be there because we protect them. We support them. We help them grow their freelance business. So that's really what we've tried to create. And we have a lot of clients who have said, hey, I'm never going to use another marketplace before. I want to hire direct. And I've given them some credit to try it out, and they've fallen in love with the system. And of course, there's going to be clients that it's not for them and they prefer hiring direct. But in my mind, it takes a lot more time. I hired direct for years, and I always wish that there was a free up that I could hire from.
Yeah, you mentioned the turnover thing too. Do you help train these workers too? Because, you know, if a couple of them quit and you have to retrain them over and over again, you know, maybe it's easy. Maybe you keep filling those spots over and over again. But if they keep quitting, that could become a problem.
Definitely. And that rarely happens. I mean, freelancers on our platform rarely quit. Of course, it's real life and it could. But I mean, we don't train people for you. I mean, a lot of times these are freelancers. So there's three different levels of freelancers. There's the basic, the mid, and the expert, where the basic are the followers, that 5 to 10. The mid are the doers, the 10 to 30. You're not training them. They're doing projects like graphic design and bookkeeping. And then you got the experts of 25 and up that are consulting and bringing their expertise to the table. So each of them, if they quit, there's a different element of replacing. And there's nothing that I can do to make the hassle 0%. There's always going to be a hassle if someone quits. But what I can do is make sure financially that the client is not hurt. So if you spend 2 weeks getting a customer service rep going and in 6 months they quit on you, we'll cover the first 2 weeks of the next person. Or if someone's building your Shopify store and halfway through they quit or disappear or whatever it is, we'll get someone else in and we'll make sure that that person picks up right where that other person left off and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So that's what we're really therefore to make sure that you're never paying for the same thing more than once.
Fair enough. What's the growth plan look like for the following year with this company?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we did $1 million in the first year, about $5 million last year. We should finish this year over $9 million in revenue. And yeah, next year we're shooting towards 15. I mean, hopefully more. I think when you're running a startup, the first year or two, it's not easy to double, but it's pretty realistic. After that, if you're growing by 50% plus every year, it's still pretty good and solid. And obviously anything above that is a bonus. So I would love to see us get over 15 million. I know one of the things that we monitor is build hours per week, and we build 15,000 hours last week, which was a new record, and we're trying to get to 20,000 build hours. So that's really what we're focused on, and it all comes down to making sure clients and freelancers are happy with the platform.
What are some of the challenges you're seeing in the business now?
So I think a lot of it is the software. So whenever you're running a marketplace, you've got the client side, the freelancer side, and then you got the software that holds it all together. And I have never run a software company before. I think for the first year and a half, I didn't look at us as a software company, but that's really what we've ended up being. We have a whole platform where people put in requests, they run billing, they pause and set limits for freelancers, they manage everything in there. And we're competing with some big, pretty huge players, the Upworks, the Fivers, that have much bigger software budgets than us. And we could spend $1 million on software and there'd still be more projects that we wanted to do. And we've got lots of ideas. We're constantly getting feedback and asking for feedback on what people want to see. So we just have this whole list of stuff we want to do. And then it just becomes prioritizing. Do we work on big projects where our developers are not doing anything besides these projects for the next 6 months to a year and everything else gets pushed aside? Are we chipping away at all these small projects and making some small upgrades while not getting that big improvement that people want? And how do we prioritize that while also reinvesting in other parts of the business, the marketing, the recruiting for freelancers? So I think that's kind of been the challenge, is what comes first, what comes second when it comes to the software. And I think we're getting there. We're in a much better place than we were a year, 2 years ago. But it's always something that's kind of there when you're running a marketplace like we are.
What has it been like working with a co-founder?
I love Connor. I mean, he's probably one of he was the best hire I ever made. He was one of my first hires on my Amazon business. He was this kid in my business law class who shot me a Facebook message one day saying, "Hey, I'm looking for a job. Are you hiring? I heard you're running some Amazon business." And I hired him, barely interviewing him because I never interviewed anyone before. And he ended up being great. He loved the business. He learned fast. He brought his ideas to the table. And we've worked incredibly well together. And I think the core of it is we have the same values. We have the same beliefs, whether it's how we treat people, whether it's what we're trying to do with the company, whether it's just problem solving and being logical, which is important when you're working with someone else. But skill-wise, we're completely different. I'm much more of the sales, customer service process, and he's much more of the content, the marketing, the long-term strategy, where I'm much more short-term. So because of that, we work together very well, and we complement each other very well. And we also know when to not step on each other's toes and when, hey, you're doing this while I'm doing this. And we have great brainstorming sessions every week where we're constantly talking about different aspects of the business and bouncing ideas off each other. So I've been fortunate enough where I'm very happy with my business partner. I've heard a lot of horror stories where it hasn't gone that way. And I think because of that, I've had people that have wanted to join FreeUp as a partner, and we've turned them down just saying, "Hey, listen, Connor and I work so well together, we're not really interested in breaking that up and taking on additional risk by adding someone that we're not sure how they'll blend in."
Have you thought about taking any investment in?
I mean, thought about it? Of course. I mean, I think every business owner thinks about it. We've had venture capitalist firms reach out to us. I think that from my side, I build my businesses around flexibility, around freedom. I work remote. I can work anytime. It's not like I'm sitting at a beach, but I have that flexibility. And adding an investor, in my mind, you're almost like adding a boss, someone that you're reporting to. And obviously getting the right investor matters. I think I'm in a place where I probably would stay away from that. I mean, the business is profitable. I have the flexibility. I love what I'm doing. And I think that maybe at a certain time that makes sense. But I could see myself, I guess, selling the business, not that I have any plan of doing that, over adding on a boss, someone that I would have to report to. In my mind, subject to change.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Have you been thinking about an exit at some point?
I mean, we're thinking about it in terms of setting up processes for it so that the business is sellable, but it's not like we are out there marketing and trying to find a buyer for it. And I think every business, when you get to a certain level, you start thinking about it, but it's not something we're spending a lot of time on.
Yeah. I wasn't asking if you're planning on selling. It's just, you know, there's a difference between building a business that you have to work in for your whole life or building a business with an exit in mind, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's very similar to just building good processes, stuff that can carry over no matter who's doing it, that isn't completely reliant on one person. So I think it's constantly in our mind, and it's an ever-going adjustment that you're trying to get to that point.
You mentioned in the beginning you guys used a lot of cold outreach and didn't pay anything for ads. How's that marketing process look like now? What's the main channel or channels that you're going to use to move that revenue to the next point?
Yeah, so it's a combination of a lot of things. We still do cold outreach. We still do, whether it's LinkedIn or sending emails. We go on a lot of podcasts like yours, getting in front of different business communities. We go to conferences and sponsor either conferences or different online events. We have a lot of partnerships in the industry, people that have the same client base or the same community, but offer very different services. So we do a lot of partnerships with them, whether it's blog swaps or Facebook Lives, trying to find different matches there and always looking for new partners. Our referral program is still booming. We're on pace to pay out about $300,000 this year in referral money. So that's definitely a big part of it. We run Facebook ads. We run Google ads. We have a blog with SEO. Those are really the main channels. And I'm sure I forgot one or two things, but we're always looking for different ways. It's really diversified how we get clients.
Sounds good. Nate, thank you for coming on, and tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. If you go to freeup.com with three E's, my calendar's right at the top. You can book a meeting with me. I'd love to talk to you about your business. Create an account, mention this podcast, get a $25 credit to try us out, and check us out on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter.
Sounds good. Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.